We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, the book of Joshua, chapter 14, and we could take as our text tonight, verse 14. Joshua 14, verse 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The Canaanites have been defeated, and the land is now about to be divided between the various tribes. Caleb appears along with his fellow tribesmen from the tribe of Judah. They appear before Joshua. And Caleb says, 45 years before this, a promise was made to me. And I'm still looking for that promise to be fulfilled. I believed the promise when I was given it 45 years ago. And I'm still waiting for it. Give me this mountain. What a great example of faith Caleb is. How wonderfully we see God's grace working in this man's life. God giving to him this gift of faith. Faith that was in evidence when he was a spy spying out the land. And faith that was in evidence ever since then for 45 years as he was looking forward to the promise being fulfilled and the mountain with the giants becoming his. Caleb is a type of Christ. He symbolizes the Lord Jesus for us. Ask of me and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the ends of the earth for thy possession. That's what God said to Jesus. Ask of me for the inheritance. And Jesus asked it of him. And he was given and is being given the whole world as his inheritance, because he followed the Lord wholly, because he was obedient unto death. So let's look at the distinctives then of this man's life, and let it be a challenge to us. Let us follow the Lord wholly ourselves. So the first thing we notice then about this man, Caleb, is that he followed the Lord wholly. Verse 9, he says it of himself. And he's not boasting when he says this concerning himself. Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance on thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Well, that was said about him, and he takes it as true. Sometimes we can be putting down upon ourselves too much. Sometimes we can be painting ourselves in the blackest way. And that can be wrong. We can regard ourselves as rubbish and our lives a disaster and a waste of time. And we fail to see what the Lord has done through us and what the Lord has done in us. We have to speak realistically. And we have to realize what the Lord has done for us. So he says it of himself. And verse 10, Moses has said it of him. And then in verse 14, Scripture, best of all, Scripture says it of him. Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb because that he followed, wholly followed, the Lord God of Israel. A wonderful testimony to follow the Lord wholly. And the testimony of Jesus, Psalm 40, to do thy will I take delight, O thou my God that art. And the testimony of the Father at his baptism, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Caleb points to Jesus. And Jesus, of course, is our great hero. He's our champion. He was the one that was obedient unto death. Far more obedient than Caleb was. The best of men are but men at best. And every man, every woman is a sinner. Jesus was the only sinless man. And he was obedient. And he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Learned how hard it was to be obedient. But he never ceased to be obedient. Our Lord Jesus was obedient unto death. And here we see Caleb following the Lord wholly. Where I grew up in the island of Lewis, if you became a Christian, the world would say about you, oh, he's got the curum, or she's got the curum. This word curum, a Gaelic word, it means care or concern. And it was almost a bit like, from the world's point of view, as if you'd caught a virus, the coronavirus or something. Oh, she's got the curum. But what the world was saying was they were expressing a kind of dissatisfaction that the Lord had begun to work in somebody's life and touch them and change them and transform them and deliver them so that they were no longer part of the old party, the old group, the ways of the world, but they've been changed, they've been brought out of that. But Christians wouldn't use that term. But what Christians would say if somebody started to show a new interest and God obviously working in them, what Christians would say was, oh, he's hallianting, the Gaelic word, he's following. And that's a lovely way of speaking of a Christian. A Christian is somebody who's following in the footsteps of the flock, following them to the church, to the prayer meeting, following them in the study of the scriptures, following the Christians in prayer and praise and witness, following the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a follower? Here is a man who was a follower, who followed the Lord wholly. Followed the Lord wholly. It's a wonderful description, and it would be great that it would be true of every one of us that we are those who wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Real Christians. Remember Enoch. He was another follower. Enoch, he walked with God. He walked with God. There was a companionship there. He was in company, as it were. He liked to be in fellowship with God. And there was Enoch each day walking with God. Day after day, year after year, Enoch walked with God. Till, as one Puritan put it, he walked so far one day that he couldn't find his way back. He walked all the way into heaven. He was translated. He was one of the two men that never died. He went straight in body, as well as soul, to paradise. Enoch walked with God. And that surely is something that we should all aspire to. So, he followed the Lord wholly. Secondly, we notice concerning him that he faithfully fulfilled the mission he was given. He speaks of this in verse 7. He tells us that 45 years before this, he was a 40-year-old man, and he was chosen as the representative of the tribe of Judah. 12 spies were sent to spy out the land. The Israelites had come from the land of Egypt, crossed over the Red Sea, come to the south of the land of Canaan, and they sent one spy from each tribe, 12 spies, to spy out the land. The spy chosen from the tribe of Ephraim was Joshua, and the spy chosen from the tribe of Judah was Caleb. And they went through the land of Canaan, and they came back with their report. And in verse 7, we see that Caleb made his report as it was in his heart. He didn't look to the majority. He didn't look at what other people were saying or doing. He spoke as it was in his heart. He was sincere. Now, they all reported that it was a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a rich and prosperous land, a blessed land. They all gave the same report. In fact, two of them carried back a bunch of grapes from the valley of Eshcol. And it was such a huge bunch of grapes that two of them had to carry it on a pole between them. What a rich land that would bring forth this enormous bunch of grapes. So they all united in saying it's a good land, but ten of them gave in a majority report and two a minority report. And the majority report said, ah yes, but they've got fenced cities with walls that reach up into heaven. They've got iron chariots. They've got swords and spears and trained armies. And there's giants among them. Giants. Some of them so large that in their presence we were like grasshoppers. The majority of the spies were looking at the enemy and were filled with fear. But two spies, Caleb and Joshua, they looked up to God. And in the presence of God, the giants were little dwarfs. Caleb followed the Lord wholly, spoke what was in his heart. He said, let's go. The people of the land are bread for us. We can eat them up and chew them down. We're not afraid of them. They're just bread for us to take. Has God not delivered us from the land of Egypt, given us tremendous victory over the great armies of the Egyptians? Remember how they came with their horses and their chariots in order to bring us back to Egypt. And the Lord brought the Red Sea upon them, and they were all drowned. God destroyed the army of Egypt. Will he not destroy the armies of the Canaanites? Of course he will. Instead of focusing upon the difficulties and the problems, Joshua and Caleb focused on God, Almighty God, the God who does his will in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. The God who has the heart of kings in his hands and turns these kings whichever way he wills. The God who can send one destroying angel and every firstborn child in Egypt is slain. The God who sent his angel to the army of the Assyrians, and in one night 185,000 Assyrians perished. Faith in God. He faithfully fulfilled the mission he was given. Sadly, the Israelites listened to the majority report and their hearts melted. And they said, let's make a captain and return to the land of Egypt. And Caleb and Joshua said, no, let's go up and take possession of the land. But they said, no, let's stone Joshua and Caleb to death. Their lives were threatened, but yet they continued to make their faithful report. Whatever the challenges, it made no difference. They had faith in God, and they faithfully fulfilled the mission they were given. He followed the Lord wholly, and he acted in faith. So thirdly, We have the promise made by God. God spoke through Moses. Moses was the mouthpiece of God. Moses, in many ways, the greatest of the prophets of the Old Testament. And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." Caleb had crossed over that land of Hebron and the area around there, the mountainous country, the land of the giants. He had gone through it. And now the promise is that it will be yours and your children forever. And Caleb believed that. And he continued to believe it. He claims that promise that was made to him 45 years before. Sometimes God makes a promise to you and it's not fulfilled the next day. And it's not maybe fulfilled the next year. Sometimes you've got to wait 45 years for the promise to be fulfilled. But God's promises will always be fulfilled. No matter how long we have to wait, eventually the promise is kept. Because God is the God who cannot lie. And God's word and God's Bible can be trusted. And if God in the Bible makes a promise to you, and you claim that promise by faith, it is yours and will be fulfilled, even although many years pass before that happens. He puts his faith in the word of God. Are we claiming God's promises? Are we trusting God's word? Putting our faith in what the Lord has said. The scriptures cannot be broken. That's what Jesus said. They cannot be broken. Every other word can be broken, but God's word will never be broken. So a promise was made by God, and he claims that promise. Fourthly, he sees God's hand in his life. All the other spies apart from Joshua died. And all the other adults who were around at that time, 45 years ago, all the other soldiers, the men of Israel who were adults, they all perished. And so now there's only two old men left in Israel, Joshua and Caleb. All the other old men are dead. Because they did not believe the word of God and go in and take possession of the land, because they failed to trust in the power of God, they were left to wander in the wilderness for 40 years till all that generation had passed away, that carcasses were strewed in the desert. Caleb, he survived. Joshua survived because he followed the Lord wholly. He has been through all the wilderness wanderings, and Caleb is now 85 years of age. And he says something interesting. He says that he's still as strong as he was then. "As yet I am as strong this day," verse 11, "as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in." It's interesting, we noticed in the previous chapter how Joshua was beginning to suffer from some of the infirmities of old age, how he was old and stricken in years. But not Caleb. God's hand has been miraculously upon Caleb. Caleb was given a promise, a special promise. and God's hand has rested upon him. So at the age of 85, an old man, he's still as strong as a middle-aged man, still full of strength and vigor and ready for war, because he's still got a war to fight. He's still got a calling in life. And when God gives us a war to fight, when God gives us a duty to perform, he will give the strength and the ability to fulfill that calling and that duty. God has supernaturally kept him. Nothing's too hard for God. He looks back over the past, and he sees God's hand looking after him when there were all kinds of dangers in the wilderness. Fiery serpents, attacks from the Amalekites, fighting with the Moabites and the different tribes, fighting with Sihon and with Og and with the Canaanites. And through all these battles, the Lord has looked after Caleb. And here he is, claiming his mountain. Ebenezer, up till now, the Lord hath helped us. It's good to look back in our life and to see the goodness of the Lord and to take courage, to be strengthened as we consider what God has done for us in the past. And he's the God who never changes. The God who's looked after us in the past will look after us in the future also. And so, fifthly, he claims the mountain. Give me this mountain. He wants it. It's the hardest part of the land of Canaan. It's inhabited by giants, the sons of Anak. It's got fenced cities with walls up to heaven, iron chariots. But he says, verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me. And that if is not an if of doubt, but it's an if of looking forward to see what the Lord will do. Then shall I be able to drive them out as the Lord hath said. He's not doubting. He's confident. And he's looking forward to it. He's got one more challenge in front of him before he dies. He wants to take possession of the hardest piece of the land of Canaan, to face the greatest giants, to overcome these fenced cities. He wants to see God doing great things for him. Think of old Simeon taking up baby Jesus in the temple. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've seen the Savior. Your promise has been fulfilled. The Savior, the Messiah has come. And Caleb too wants to see the promise fulfilled and God's mighty arm stretched out over the mountain of giants, to see that land conquered for God. He followed the Lord wholly. Think of our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Think of him struggling there, seeing the difficulty, the mountain that was in front of him, the bitter cup of the wrath of God that he had to drink. Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. How he struggled. It seemed so impossible to drink that cup of damnation. But he drank it lovingly. And he said, the cup that the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I certainly shall. He was obedient unto death. And so finally, we see how Joshua gives to him Hebron. Hebron, which before was known as Kirjath Arba. Kirjath means city, the city of Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, a great man among the giants. And in the next chapter, we read about Caleb and how he fights against these giants. Caleb drove thence, verse 14, the sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. He went to face the giants, a bit like David. Do you remember young David? The whole of the Israelite army trembled at the sight of Goliath. Even Saul, who was head and shoulders above the rest of the Israelites, he was afraid when he saw the giant. And along comes young David. And he says, who is this giant? Who's this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of the living God? Let me get at him. The words of faith. He takes his sling and a stone and he goes to face the mighty giant. Didn't matter how big he was. He could be as big as Tyrannosaurus Rex and just as fearful, but it made no difference to David. The uncircumcised Philistine, defying the armies of the living God. I trust in God, and no enemy can stand against me. I will overcome every difficulty. Every giant will be trodden under my feet. And so David went and cut off the head of Goliath. And so every enemy of the Lord's people will be defeated. Give me this mountain, and Joshua gives him Hebron, and he received this inheritance because he followed the Lord wholly. And there's an inheritance for you and me too. We've got our portion, our lot, our inheritance, and it's suited to us. It has challenges. There are problems. There are difficulties. There are giants sometimes to face. But with God's help, we can overcome every giant. Whatever the difficulties and troubles, we can meet them and overcome them with God's help. Not in our own strength, but with God's strength. We must follow the Lord wholly. What does it mean to follow the Lord wholly? To believe his word. Take it to heart. Accept it. Trust it. The Bible. Know it. Believe it. Trust it. And trust not just the word, but the God who speaks the word. Trust in the power of God, in the love of God. Trust Almighty God, who's merciful and gracious and on our side. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, and he has become my salvation. Following the Lord wholly means walking in obedience. Not that our obedience earns the blessing, but having received the gift of blessing, we show our love in our obedience. We show our devotion. We show that we've been saved by living that new life. If you love me, you keep my commandments. We draw upon past deliverances to encourage us for the future. Past answers to prayer, they make us to pray to the Lord again. for answers. And by God's grace, we are fearless as we face the opposition. For what is the greatest giant but puny little man in comparison to the great God? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who dare be against us? If God is on our side, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. May God grant us boldness, fearlessness, faithfulness to trust in him, to go forward in his strength, and by God's grace, to follow the Lord wholly all the days of our life. And then we will enter in to the mountain of salvation, to the paradise of God.